Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I've always been crazy in the trouble that it's put me through.
Well, I'm a king bee, buzzing around your hive.
Yep, let's see it.
The All Things Blues and Southern Rock Podcast, a southern storm of bold, liberating rock, shot through with blues, soul, and gospel. And now, your hosts for the show, Brian Jones and Jason Johannes.
Welcome to another episode of the All Things Blues and Southern Rock Podcast on Pantheon Podcasts, where you can go to find your most preferred genre music podcast. Hopefully that's us. I would really appreciate that. And with me always is Jason. What's up today? What's going on?
Well, you know what's going on because I was having a little fun with our friends in our Black Crow State of America messenger group, kicking around the hornet's nest. I'm always a staunch defender by your side. And we were talking about the new Black Crow's record, and I throw in my by your side isms, and you know, some people get it, some people don't.
You know, it like a Black Crowes discussion with Black Crowes fans, Black Crowes fandom. You never know if it's going to end up in hugs or fist fight.
It's sometimes both, depending at different times.
Yeah, so the new record, Happiness Bastards, came out on Friday. And it one thing when we were chatting earlier today, it's so interesting to how differently we all hear things when they get into our ears.
Yep.
You know, it's just really fascinating. Okay, you think that about that song. I think for me, the three songs that are really grabbing me and I think are really good and fit in well with kind of like everything else that I'm listening to is Follow the Moon, yeah. Bleed It Dry, and Wilted Rose.
Yep.
So those are the three that I'm kind of like, that's like what I'm, it's pleading to my ears the most. That's what I'm listening to. And then other things are kind of growing on me a little bit. I mean, I think Wanting and Waiting really sounds like a By Your Side era song. So that sounds like, you know,
I love that track.
Yeah. It sounds like it should. I like it. I like that.
And it's great. We heard him play it live last week on that Amazon music thing. It's great. Yeah.
Cross Your Fingers. I also, they're at that second tier or whatever. And somebody was saying, okay, that kind of, it ends kind of abruptly, whatever, but I dig that song. Bedside Manners too is kind of like the next tier for me.
I like Bedside Manners. I think that rocks.
Yeah. Yeah. It almost kind of reminds me of like, it doesn't sound the same, but it's kind of got the same spirit of Rip This Joint on Exile on Main Street. It's kind of like,
it does. And it's, you know, what somebody in our group, in our State of America group, said each song is almost representative of a different album from the Crows. And I think that's right. Now, you can argue over which song does what, right. But I think if you listen to this record, you can sort of hear, you know, the Shake Your Moneymaker, not probably Southern Harmony as much, but the, you know, the America, the Three Snakes, the By Your Side, the Before the Frost, you know, the War Paint. Sorry, I was struggling there, you know, eras. And I know you don't like this one, Brian, but I do like Flesh Wound. It is so atypical of something they do, and it's catchy. It's stupid. Don't get me wrong. It's a silly song, but it resonates in my head, and I like it.
it's so different than anything they do.
It is. It's jarringly different.
For some
Jarringly different.
it reminds me a little bit of And the Band Played On, off
Yeah,
Before the
and somebody said it
Frost,
has
kind
like
of.
some, the Replacements, and the Crows like the Replacements in REM, and it's almost like if you took the Replacements in REM and mashed them together, this is almost a song that they would do.
It kind of, to me too, it sounds like Cheap Trick. So yeah, and I'll be
Yeah.
honest, it's not my favorite track on the
That's
record.
okay. I'm still going to be friends with you and do this podcast. You're not hurting my feelings. You and I aren't going to fight.
there's gonna be like a Black Crowes fan like Battle Royal cage match.
It's like last man standing. That's right. Everybody's going to get in the ring and
We're all hitting each other with CDs and records.
I know some of the people take that stuff seriously. It's funny, but I like the record. Listen, I didn't have any expectations for the record. I was interested. Obviously, you get the brothers get back and do something. I'm happy it's out. Is it a top five record for the Black Crowes? No, but they're never going to have another Southern Harmony. They're never going to have another Armorica.
Well, what
You know,
Rex and
those.
I were saying is that, or at least my perspective is, you can't really, you got to take off the table Shake Your Money Maker, Southern Harmony,
Yeah.
Morica, Three
Those are
Snakes.
30 years ago, man.
But I think you can put on the table By Your Side and Lions and
Yeah.
War Paint and Before the Frost. I think
Yep.
that's okay to like put it in that perspective. Like, how does it match in with those records? Because kind of like the
And I like it better than
second
Before the Frost and
phase.
Lions. I like it better than Before the Frost. I do. I am
Yeah,
not a
I do
Before the
too. I
Frost
do
fan
too.
at all.
I do too. Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm the same way.
I like Lions. I like Lions. I have no problem with the record. I do not like Before the Frost at all.
I think
So,
By Your Side is better than Happiness Bastards. I mean, it's probably
yeah,
close, but I think overall it's
that's
better.
because you have good musical taste. You know what you're talking about.
That I never thought of By Your Side as a departure from the Black Crowes music. It was a departure from Three Snakes, but
Obviously, yeah.
I never saw it as a departure, because I think they were gonna get back to that kind of straightforward
Yeah,
rock. I mean, they
yeah.
weren't gonna keep making the next jam record, the next jam record. They're gonna, like, just like they weren't gonna make Shake Your Money Maker part two or three.
That's right.
So yeah, I always, there's a couple silly songs on By Your Side, but I've always liked that record. It wasn't like, oh my God, is this the Black Crowes? It's like, okay, it's not the Three Snakes kind of
You can
Crowes,
put
but
that record
it's,
on in the
yeah.
background and you tap your toes to it, but you don't have to pay that much attention. Like, it is a good thing. And like, here's why I hold that record in such high regard. I know it's not music like the best things they've ever done, but it came out the year I graduated college. It was a record that got me back in the Crows from the weirdness of Three Snakes, just because it was so accessible and short. And that was the first tour I got to see them on. So there's a whole lot of things that kind of like life experiences that brought me to that I relate to that record. Does it have some stupid lyrics in places? Yes. Is it better than Amorica and Southern Harmony? No, but that's okay. Like, I tie it to the whole experience of when it came out.
Yeah, you can't really look at it in that perspective. I mean, By Your Side, the song, I'll put that up,
That's so good. Virtue and Vice, great
For sure,
song.
yeah. There's a lot of good stuff on that, but
See, this is why I do a podcast with you, because you're a very smart guy and you know what's up.
maybe. What do you make of it? Because I keep, and I'm hearing this or reading it more on the other Crows Facebook groups, that people are talking about it's compressed. Like, are my ears not sophisticated enough to, I guess I can kind of pick that out, because I did my little like
It
compilation
doesn't
that.
sound rough. It sounds a little bit more slick, maybe a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, not dirty and gritty.
I did my little compilation of War Paint and Before the Frost and Happiness Bastards, and you totally tell the difference of production between Paul Stacey and Jay Joyce.
Yeah, for sure.
But
I
there's
think
some
just
people
like,
like, oh my God, the production is so compressed. Like, I guess maybe it sounds all more meld together. Like, everything doesn't stick out as crispy and individual. But I mean, it's not like, it's not, so, I'm going to be honest, I would not even have recognized that until someone said it. And I'm like, okay. It's weird
I know.
how being in these social media group discussions, I find myself like, taking into consideration everybody else's opinion. Like, wait a minute, I'm okay with mine. I got to think about it for me. Like, remember when you used to go to the record store and you just buy it in your car, and besides your closest friends, it's like you weren't taking into perspective like 20 other people's opinion, which is fine too. That part, it's fascinating, but at the same time, I gotta remember, I gotta listen to this for me. And
And that's why I said don't let anybody like ruin your experience and stuff with it. People are gonna have their opinions. That's fine. Like when I saw you didn't like Flesh Wound, I don't give a shit. Like that's a like it's okay,
I'm
you
never
know.
gonna
I
talk
like
to you
it.
again,
You
man.
know what I mean, Brian? Like it's I that's fine. Like music is so subjective.
But a good number of people are mentioning that they really like that song, so I have to be like fascinated and individually of, like I said,
For
how you
sure.
all hear things. There's got to be something to it. Like, okay, that's gonna open up my mind that, okay, all these people that
But
are
no
friends of
music
mine that
is
are cool
universally
and good
liked.
people, they like this song. Okay, there's something there. I got to respect at least that, even if it's not my cup of
Dude,
tea.
Nickelback has sold millions of records. Just remember
Yeah,
that.
I think the thing that I'm so much into the like the southern sounding stuff that the
That is
songs that
not.
record that sound the most like that, obviously I'm going to gravitate to heavily first and just kind of embrace that, and then I could start like the other stuff that's kind of on the fence, I could kind of bring that in and listen to it. And I've got to listen to it as one piece a lot in the car. Like I only
And
live
it's
like
30 something minutes long, so it's you get through it quick.
Yeah, I only live like 7 minutes from my work, so it's like I get to listen to two songs. I can't. I got to listen to it as a
So in
whole
the
piece.
course of a week, you get to get through the whole album.
Right. So let's get into. I got
But
to.
real fast on that, I think once we hear the songs live and how they're going to perform them live, I think there'll be some more appreciation maybe for some of the songs of the album as a whole.
And once the band gels more and they're rich,
And you can
I.
see where they're going to jam out or add it, extend a solo or do something a little bit more or do something different. I think we're going to see a lot of that because you sort of got an open palette on some of those songs where you can really do a lot in a live setting. So I'm intrigued.
Yeah, and Rich had said in a podcast interview that they're going to be doing, they're bringing back more rare stuff and B-sides and unreleased stuff. So it'll
Be
be cool
great.
to see. It'll be cute, cool to see how that band gels
If I never hear Hard to Handle live ever again, or She Talks to Angels, I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I've
for
heard those
sure. Yeah.
songs a billion times, like they're fine, but God help Miss Man. We don't need to
Yeah.
hear that.
Right. So I got to see a great show on Saturday night,
Yes, you
at
did,
Medina,
Brian.
Minnesota. Got to see
Yes, you
Blackberry
did.
Smoke for the ninth times and them Dirty Roses opening. And I'm like, because my wife and I are going to the Shed. And so originally we were just gonna like bypass the show. But when it's honestly that I saw them Dirty Roses opening, okay, no, we're back in. We're back in for that. I have to see that. I have to see
Well,
that.
how were then Dirty Roses?
Awesome. They're awesome, and it
A
it
lot
was
of energy on
awesome.
stage, those
Yeah.
guys have. They're a really good live band.
And this venue is a strange venue. We saw the Break It Down Acoustic there tour too, but there's like tables, like these long banquet tables.
I was reading about that in the comments
So
from the Blackberry Smoke page.
yeah, and so people are kind of sitting, but then they weren't going to stop anybody from standing up, so it's kind of some standing sometime and not the other times or whatever. But Ben from Them Dirty Roses really got everybody up a lot. So
As he does, as he does.
yeah, and they're an excellent opener for Blackberry Smoke. Excellent. That makes a lot of sense. I wish they could do a longer leg at the tour.
Maybe one day, but man, they really do put on a good live show. Andrew Davis, our buddy, is a great lead guitar player. Just the whole band, man. That's just one of those bands you gotta keep watching. They have a really good new single out. It's very heavy. Andrew does a little shredding on a solo. And it's about time to get those guys back on and talk about this new stuff that's coming out too.
Yep.
So how is Blackberry Smoke?
Well, how do you think? They're
They're
awesome.
always good.
They're
They're always
so
awesome.
awesome. They're
Always
so
awesome.
incredible. Yeah. Very, very awesome. It could be one of the, and it's hard to really say like what the best Blackberry Smoke show you've seen, because they're all the best Blackberry Smoke shows you've seen. But there's something a little extra, and I for some reason I got the sense that they're relieved for Britt
Yeah,
that he's not in pain
that's
anymore, or
yeah,
you know,
sure.
they're
Yeah.
just, you know,
What's
I
yeah.
got that sense anyway. But Charlie was extra on fire, you know, like the last song they played for the encore was a little bit crazy. Of course,
So good.
without the
So
vocal
good.
part at the beginning, but he was just like man possessed rocking on that song.
Yeah.
I was just like, holy crap, like this is so good, as we
That's a
are.
catchy tune, man, off that
Yeah.
new record. It is such a catchy tune.
And just heavy. And oh, he, I didn't know, I don't think I probably mentioned it when I was chatting with you, but he broke out the Flying V. He played that on Sleeping Dog, or no, on Waiting for
Waiting
the
for the Thunder.
Thunder
Yeah.
and You Hear Georgia. Like, I've never, Waiting for the Thunder, he's usually got the 335 or whatever they. Flying V, and you could tell, you could hear the difference. It's like just heavy as hell, just loud and powerful. And I don't know
Yeah.
if I'd seen him
Well,
live with the V. I've seen video and stuff, but
I've seen those guys more than 10 times, and I can't recall of him playing a V.
yeah.
You know, tons of Les Paul Juniors and the 335 or 345 and the Les Paul on occasion, and you know, his Telecaster and Telecaster style single pickup guitars, but I don't think I can recall the Flying V, so you got a unique experience.
He only played his old black Les Paul once during the show.
Yeah.
And
Oh, the
usually he has that
junior,
out
the
there
single
more.
pickup junior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Rick Richards used to own.
Did he play
Yeah.
the TV Yellow Junior?
Yes.
Yeah, he had that.
Briefly,
That's what he
yes.
started the show with. And I looked at that. I'm like, oh, that's a beautiful guitar.
Yeah. And
Beautiful
so
guitar.
afterwards, like you, we got after show from Charlie, and we're I was chatting with you and you said, well, find the security after. And so we did
Yeah,
that.
well, that's what
And
we had to do. Yeah.
yeah. And then the guy didn't really seem sure. He goes, well, once everybody files out of here, but Eric came over and got us and brought us to the bus, which I was not expecting to go on the bus for some reason, and talk to Charlie, you know, and he had messaged me on his Instagram, like, hey man, he's still here. It's like, cool, man.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
talk to him and Benji. Were there, and Brandon was there for a second, and Paul was there for a little bit talking to
Brandon
him.
was up there when we talked to him. He's tall. I didn't realize he was that tall.
But they were talking like his well, when we have Eric coming up, Eric Snoddy, on an episode. There's one thing I'll just spoiler thing I'll say. He's talking about how the band has a bus and the crew has a bus. But what I got the sense of, and this is Paul was saying, is like there's the quiet early bird, earlier to bed bus, and then there's the louder nocturnal bus. And that's where Paul was going. He
Well,
goes,
yeah, I mean, the
I
people want
can't
to go
fall
to
asleep
bed.
right away. But Benji's sitting there, he's eating like dates and like nuts and stuff, and drinking mineral water, and it's like,
Rock stars have changed, man.
yeah.
It's clean living now.
Somehow, and then I mentioned, I asked him if he had talked to Jeff and Joe from Steepwater the night before. He said, yeah, it was good to talk to those guys. And then I mentioned Tracy, and I was talking about how Tracy used to be a Nashville pussy. And then Charlie mentioned he hadn't met her before, but some other people in Nashville pussy. And I don't know how we got onto the subject, but we were talking about Lemmy and Zakk Wylde, and he met them the first time at the Rainbow. And then they started talking about the time that Zakk Wylde played in the Allman Brothers. It was like one night or
Allman Brothers,
whatever.
the one night,
Yeah, that
yeah.
was a funny story.
His
Just,
guitar had a very compressed sound to it,
yeah.
just FYI.
So
It did.
yeah, what a great night. What a great night of music. Yeah, it was
And
very
thanks to
special.
Charlie and Blackberry Smoke for doing those
Yep.
things for us. You know, like they don't have to do that, and we appreciate it. So if you're listening, guys, thanks.
Yeah, and thanks to them Dirty Roses, all those guys, man, Andrew and Frank and James and Ben, get to talk to those guys at merch, and that's always a, and both I got
Oh.
both Andrew and Charlie approached me with a hug, so it's like, cool, man.
Those guys are huggers. It's good. And
Yeah.
they're very honest, you know, regular down to earth people.
Yep. And so let's talk about our guest coming up.
Very down to earth guy, like Sam Morrow, right? And we found about Sam. We had PR contact us for him, thought he would be a good choice. He's known as the Cosmic Cowboy. He was cool. Like he's got, right? He was a cool dude.
And I'd heard of him, and this is kind of similar that we were talking about to our future guest, Lissa, that he was someone who I'd heard of, and I didn't know, like, is he going to be like totally acoustic kind of, and I listened to some of his stuff, and I dig it. It's like heavier and
Rocking.
stuff, and he ended up being this like, wow, this is awesome. What a great guy to talk to. I mean, not that I
Yeah,
didn't think
just
he
moved
would
to
be, but
Nashville. Yeah.
yeah, but you know, when you hear, you know, he's like acoustic, you know, the Cosmic Cowboy, whatever. Is it going to be too country? And it wasn't, you know. Dig his music.
He fits right in what we're doing. I love the new track, By Your Side. Hey, we talked about the By Your Side Crows record. He has a track called By Your Side. Really like it. He's got the new album on the ride here, getting ready to drop. That's why we had him on to kind of time it. Even though we recorded this a couple of weeks ago, we're dropping it now to kind of time with his new record coming out. He's a really cool guy. I dig his music, and this is one of these, Brian, things I like about the show is when we do this, we get to find out new music and new artists that we really didn't know about and now we like.
And like when I, for some reason I was anticipating and like reading in the bio and stuff and other stuff, like he was this man, he's gonna be like a badass biker James Dean kind of guy, and he was
Right.
just like more like a humble kind of like semi-shy soft-spoken dude.
He fit in well with us.
Yeah, oh for sure, and some laughter, and yeah, it was great talking to him, and I
More
can't,
Pop-Tarts conversations.
oh, for sure. Yeah. And I can't wait to have him back again. So until then, you guys kick back and relax and listen to our conversation with Sam Morrill. Arrived at the guest segment of the podcast. You guys know I always throw it over to Jason to introduce our guest today.
And I'm always excited to introduce the guest. You know, we've got a cool artist actually that we're going to talk to today. He's got some great music out now and new music coming out. He's dubbed the Cosmic Cowboy, and we're going to learn more about this. So on the podcast today, we have Sam Morrow. How are you doing, Sam?
Hey, I'm good, man. How are you doing?
We're good. We're good. So you're in Nashville chilling?
In Nashville, chilling, man. Well, to be specific, I'm in Murfreesboro, but
I know where that
that's,
is. Yeah.
yeah, it's about an hour. Well, depending on traffic, you know, but yeah, I've been spending a lot more time here lately. Not only does my girlfriend live here, but I mean, I have so many friends that live here and just been able to, it's just like a city for what I do. It's a city full of opportunity, you know. Whether that's, I've been doing a lot more writing lately, co-writes, and not even necessarily for me, just for the hell of it, you know. So it's a good city. I was resistant to moving here for a long time, you know, just because everyone's like, "Oh, you play Southern Rock country music, you just moved to Nashville," and I'm like, "Man, fuck off," you know. I'll live where I want, you know. That's just like the punk rock kind of attitude I have, I guess, you know. It's
In the words
stupid.
of Rage Against the Machine, Sam, fuck you. I won't do what you tell me.
Yeah, exactly, man. Exactly. Like I've always been kind of against the stream, and I don't like being told what to do. So even though it might make the most sense in every aspect of my life, I need to come to that. I need to come to it on my own, and definitely a character flaw. Don't get me wrong; like it's absolutely a character flaw, but it's me, you know.
So you got a little bit of a rebellious personality, and you're doing Southern rock and country music, huh? Who would thought?
Yeah. Who would have thought, man? You know, who would have thought?
Hey, you said you were doing some co-writes and not necessarily for yourself. Can you talk a little bit about maybe who you're co-writing for or with?
It's not even like necessarily we're doing stuff for people. Like it's just kind of I've been writing a lot with like my buddy. I don't know if you guys are familiar with like Ben Chapman or I just like did a writing session with the Red Clay Stray guys
Oh,
who
cool.
are like absolutely
Awesome.
blowing up right now. So yeah, we're just kind of going into it to write, and like maybe it's a song that is good for them, or maybe it's one that's good for me, or maybe it's one that's good for, I've been like really hounding on Whitey Morgan. He's a good friend, and I've played with him a bunch, playing with him again like a few weeks, and I've been like hounding him to record a new record because he hadn't done it in like 500 years. And so I'll just send him songs and be like, hey, you like this one? Go record it, So yeah, it's just kind of like I just like writing, man. I just like creating, and like for a long time, writing for me was like really personal. Like I thought like you had to write a song, you had to be in your room at night, candlelit, and like in your feelings, And that was just like a weird
No
misconception
bubble
I
bath
had
too.
about. Yeah, oh, I'd go with bubble bath anytime, man. Yeah, but you feel like writing for me at first was like a very vulnerable thing, and as time has passed on, it has become less and less of that, I guess, to put it shortly, I guess. And just more of like I like writing with people, and I most of my writing nowadays is like kind of tongue in cheek and kind of funny and just making fun of myself, and which is just essentially a coping mechanism, but it also is just kind of the my favorite thing about the I said this in an interview the other day, is my favorite thing about when I'm recording songs or writing songs is the things that I like the most are the things that I laugh at, even if someone like rips a guitar solo and I laugh at it, that means we're keeping that, I don't know if other people work that way, but that's how I work. I try not to take it too seriously, man.
So, we'd like to start at Houston. You were born and raised there. So when like how did you get your start in music, and then at what point did that, where was the point where you went, this is what I'm doing for a living, I'm gonna write songs, I'm gonna be a band leader?
Yeah, so grew up in Houston, and a similar story to, a lot of people that grow up in the South or in Texas or whatever. It's like you start playing music in churches. So that's what I did. I started playing in churches, playing like worship music and stuff at like a very young age, like 11. Got a lot of the experience from that kind of. I realized that I could kind of sing, and then guitar kind of was secondary. It was just something to hold while I was singing, or something to facilitate writing songs, and there's a way to play solo and stuff like that. As I started digging into more music and getting older, I kind of got different interests in interest interest I don't know what I'm having a brain fart right now. Different interests. I'm not very good at English, so yeah, different interests. And I kind of at a young age kind of dove head first into drugs and alcohol. And by the time I was 20, I was ready to get sober. And when I got sober when I turned 20 after going to like a few rehabs and all that stuff. And when I got sober is kind of when I kind of dove head first into songwriting and got real serious about it. And that was the whole writing songs, being vulnerable and in candlelight. And I was just kind of a sad bastard,
You're not doing like the singer-songwriter folk stuff, though, which you would expect.
Yeah, no, I was like, my first record is like kind of folky singer songwritery, so that is kind of what I was writing, or what was coming out of me at the time. But yeah, that's when I started getting real serious about music. I moved to Los Angeles, and really, I didn't move there for any other reason than, like, I just knew I needed to get out of Texas, or get out of Houston at the time. And I couldn't get out for 12 years, but I loved a lot about living in Los Angeles. And I met so many good musicians, so many good people in the industry. And yeah, so that should kind of answer my early upbringing, I guess.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
So, like, nowadays with the internet and smartphones and social media, I think the scene tends to be just on social media. Like, but prior to that, like, people had to move somewhere when you're really serious about music. Was there, so, like, for you, when you're starting out in Houston, was there a vibrant scene of the kind of music that you're into? Like, what is it that facilitates moving to LA just to be in a bigger
Yeah, I would say
music
like,
business place?
yeah, I would say my move to LA was more like the last time I went to rehab was out in LA, and I just kind of stayed there. Like, it wasn't really a music thing. Even at that time, that was what, 13 years ago. Even at that time, like, social media was very relevant, and it kind of didn't matter where you lived. It like it is now. It doesn't really matter. You can make music and tour out anywhere, but I am really grateful for the people that I met there, and the music that I sort of grew a more of an appreciation for living there. There's the Laurel Canyon stuff. Like, I don't know if I would be as big of a fan of like Los Lobos, which is one of the most underrated bands of all
Oh
time,
yeah.
if I didn't live in LA,
Great guitar duo too. Those guys are completely
Oh man.
underrated.
They're one of the best rock bands of all time, but just like very, very underrated. And it's just one of my favorite bands ever. So I kind of got off track of what your question was. Oh, why did I move to LA? Yeah, it wasn't really like a business decision or anything like that. It was just like, oh, LA seems cool, I'll move out there. And I had lived in New York City for like 6 months, and it kind of like chewed me up and spit me out. But that was also kind of in the throes of my addiction. So yeah, it just kind of seemed like a good place to go. And as far as like the music in Houston, like, Houston has like never really done a great job of taking care of the arts, I guess. It's getting a little better. But venues will shut down, and it's such a big city, that a lot of times it focuses more on industry, oil, whatever it may be. The oil is, of course, huge down there. Whatever, it's kind of more of that kind of city than like an art city. And so when I was in Houston, I, did the whole worship music stuff, and then I had like a emo screamo kind of phase. And then I kind of had like an electronic dance music kind of phase. And so I went through a bunch, like every phase you could possibly go through. And then just moving to LA and is when I really kind of started to dig into what I actually wanted to do. And I was just kind of writing songs and just sort of developed into whatever the hell I do now. So.
I gotta know your emo screamo bands that you were digging.
Oh man. So I liked like He's Legend and this band called Our Last Night, Memphis Mayfire.
The names are always so
And
incredible for for
I
those
know.
bands.
I was in a band called Kalevra. Was in a band called Riot on the Midway. Just weird name. It's funny because my manager kind of had like a similar progression as me. He like started out in like sort of emo screamo, and then he started managing like dance music, and now he manages like mostly like kind of southern rock and I'm American music bands basically.
Like Americana
So
style.
yeah, Americana style stuff. So it's like fun to talk to him about like, so I don't really listen to much of that anymore, but it's just fun to like rap with them, blast from the past about all those bands and stuff, you know?
My friend was the founding member and drummer of Hawthorne Heights, if you remember those
Oh,
guys. Ohio is for lovers and stuff.
yeah.
That's why I asked. I was hoping you're going to throw his name out there, but whatever,
No,
man.
but I do remember that band, man. It's hard for me to, there's so many bands, you know,
So
back
many.
then.
Just
It's,
again, the names are always wild.
yeah, always weird and yeah. But yeah, it's still kind of nice sometimes to go back and listen to it. But you have to, music is all about what mood for me. It's all about what mood I'm in, you know. So sometimes I want to listen to someone scream, and sometimes I want to listen to, I don't know, dance music if I'm trying to drive fast or something like that, you know. Time and a place, you know.
So I know we'll get to Nashville. You know, it's always like it's a stereotypical, like people would expect, you know, a southern rock, country rock, you know, person or band to be in Nashville. So did you find like this, you're kind of this style of music in LA at all with anybody else? I know, you know, Dirty Honey is from there, Robert John and the Wreck. I don't know if you knew any of those guys or crossed paths with them when you were out there. Rival Sons too. I mean, so is it, did you find any kinship in your kind of music with anybody else out there in LA?
Yeah, I mean, LA is just so diverse and you can kind of find your crowd no matter what your crowd is out there, you know. There's a little like summer Sunday concert series called Grand Ole Echo that kind of is where I got my start a little bit in LA and started meeting a lot of people in that scene. And they just every Sunday just have, you know, four bands at the Echo out there, and it's got to meet a lot of people that way. And yeah, I mean, I've kind of crossed paths with most of those guys that you just mentioned, and there's so there is that scene out there. You just kind of have to look for it, you know. And it's gotten even bigger now, you know. Now there's, and I'd say that when I'm including like country in this, I think. So now like there's a bar in Hollywood that is, you know, a cosplay honky tonk, and I'm supposed to play there actually in like a few weeks. So hopefully they don't mind me saying it's a cosplay honky tonk, but it is. It's a
Well, it's
it.
LA, dude. It is not known for their cowboys. I think that's fair.
No, and but it's what's like kind of hip right now and popular, you know. And it's a cool spot. It's a great bar. But like I say that to just say that like it's gotten more popular and more accessible, and but you know, a lot of times musicians don't stay there because it's so expensive to live there, and it's honestly really hard to tour out of, you know. It's not close to much. Phoenix is the closest thing that's like not in California. It's like 5 hours away, you know. That's why it's another like beautiful part of like living in Nashville specifically is like you can get to it borders like 100 different states, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially markets where the type of music that you're playing is probably more popular, right? Like it's you know you're not going to go everywhere with Southern rock and blues music or country music, right? You're not going to go to I don't know where. But most of the bands we talk to are out of the Southeast ish, right, Brian?
Yeah, for sure. So let's do that. Like, so then you decided you want to get out of LA, and you moved from LA and then back home to Houston, and now you're contemplating Nashville. So how does all this come about?
Well, finally got to move back to Houston. Like I said, I've been wanting to move back to Texas for a while, and I like being around family, and it also just makes more sense for touring, you know, because most of that's how you make money being a musician these days, know, is touring. Like you don't sell records anymore. You sell merch at shows, but again, that's touring, you know. So it wasn't feasible for me, at least, to tour out of LA, and even most of the time the band that I use or is like out of Nashville or Texas. So it just made like a lot of sense logistically, and and as far as moving to Nashville, I think it just makes even more sense logistically, and this is where my girlfriend lives, so I think that's it just, I don't know. Like I was saying, I can't remember if this is off air or not. Like I had resisted Nashville for a long time, but it just makes sense, man. You know, and I have probably more friends here than I do anywhere else, and they're all kind of like-minded and trying to do what I want to do. You know, write songs and playing for people. You know.
Another thing you kind of touched on is, you know, the expense of living out there. Like we talk to so many people in Nashville that, you know, Brian Forsyth that was in Kicks, he's in Rhino Bucket now, Ace Von Johnson from LA Guns. They all talk, you know, those guys talk about like, man, for what you can get in Nashville, house or whatever, is like LA would be just a shit shack or whatever, you know?
Living in LA, like, you know, I never even thought about getting a house, you know? And here, like, it's much more, it's just like better living quality for me, you know? Like, LA is great for a lot of people, and like, there's awesome parts to Los Angeles. But for me, it just didn't really make a whole lot of sense anymore. And I think also, like, the songwriting culture in Nashville is way different from like a songwriting culture in LA. Like LA is like projects and, you know, okay, well, what are we writing this song for? And are we writing it for TV and it's just not as like sort of casual, I guess. And what I like about like when I've written so far in Nashville or even in Texas is, I mean, Nashville has a much bigger like culture for songwriting, but it's just like, let's just write a song for the sake of writing a song, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, cause we like to do it and that makes us feel good. And like, maybe that song never sees the light of day, but you know, if I write one good song out of 10 songs, that's success for me. You know, if I'm batting 300, I'm kicking ass, you know? I think the culture kind of fits what I want to do a little bit better too.
Yeah, like, you know, you talked about songwriting in the beginning of this the interview, and I think being in Nashville, like, if you turn around, throw a rock, you're going to hit somebody that you can probably collaborate with or work with or write a song for a lot easier than Houston or LA.
I mean, that's what's beautiful about it, you know. And I mean, sure, like anywhere else, it has its politics and bullshit, and you know, it's still the music industry, you know.
Right.
But you know, you gotta just weed that out, and Just meet some like-minded people that just want to make music and play for people and create stuff, which is the business I like being in, you know.
So, like, did going from LA to Nashville, is it less stressful? I mean, is there, you know, there's business, music business in LA and in Nashville, you know, like you said, that's anywhere in these big cities or music cities like that. Was LA, that part of it, like more pretentious, is more like organic and real in Nashville?
I mean, it can be. Like, I was lucky enough to, you know, work with musicians and producers and in LA that I love and I will like work with every chance I get, you know. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's hard to really say that one's better than the other, you know, because there's pretentious people everywhere, you know.
Right.
And yeah, I don't know. Like, you just, anywhere you are, man, you just got to find your tribe, you know.
Yeah.
And
true.
And there, you know, there's probably people that I get along with that, you know, I don't know, Robert John wouldn't get along with or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just, or GA20 wouldn't get along, whatever, you
mm-hmm.
know, even though I get along with both those dudes. But you see what I'm saying? Like, you mm-hmm. just got to kind of find your tribe and weed out the bullshit and life's too short and it's not, you got to not take it so seriously, you know.
Two of your songs that you have had, you've had some pretty good success with for two different reasons. One's based on an Instagram post and one is from a show. You want to talk about those a little bit?
Yeah. So, I guess Quick Fix, was on, Billions, a show on mm-hmm. Showtime, which, it's kind of like a unique situation. I kind of became Twitter friends with Brian Koppelman, who wrote, or I guess Billions is over now, but wrote Billions, and he's a screenplay writer, and also wrote shit, what's the movie, poker movie,
the one with Matt Damon in it, Rounders.
Yeah, Rounders.
Yeah, yeah, great. Yeah. Oh, Rounders. Yeah.
Yep. And we just kind of like hit it off. His dad, was in the music industry and he kind of started out in the music industry. And, so we just really hit it off. And I love playing poker. There was like a time in my life where I was playing like 3 or 4 times a week, playing like tournaments and stuff like that. So we just sort of hit it off and I guess there was an opportunity to put it in Billions and, which before when he reached out to me about kind of being a fan of my music, I had already seen like all of his shows and, you know, all of his movies and all that stuff. So it was really cool. And then that same song, I guess you're talking about The Rock is what yep. you're probably talking about. Yeah.
We're smelling what you're cooking, Sam.
Yeah. so I'll tell that story. It was, I guess like 2021, I guess something like that. And, it was like kind of in the midst of COVID, at least in LA COVID went a little longer than, but anyways, it was like 2 in the morning and I was about to go to bed and I was taking a piss and I was checking my phone and it said like The Rock has tagged you in a post. And I, you know, I thought it was like some bullshit, like spam or, you know, just some account, like, you know how that is on Facebook mm-hmm. and Instagram and all that stuff. And then I clicked the post and it's The Rock, like, talking into his phone in his giant gym that he like travels around with basically. And he's talking about, what was the movie, Jungle Cruise or something.
Oh, the Disney movie he was doing based on the
Yeah,
ride.
I think it was with Kevin Hart. It was like a movie they did with Kevin Hart. He's talking about that and saying it was coming
Oh, was
out or
that
something.
the jungle? What shit? What was that? Not Jumanji movies?
Might have been Jim. I thought it was Jungle something, but
It could have been. I know he was on Jungle
whatever.
Cruise, the Disney one with
Maybe it was that one.
Emily, what's her name? Actress, British actress,
Emily
married
Blunt.
Jim from The Office. Yeah. There you
Emily
go.
Blunt. Yeah. Could have been that one. Anyways, but he was saying all this while Quick Fix was playing in the background. And then he was like nice enough to tag me in the post and follow me and all this
Wow.
cool stuff. And I sent him a message and he sent me a voice message back of him. It was like a 60 seconds long. So
Jeez.
just him saying that he's a fan, and he's just like, he didn't have to do any of that shit,
Right.
and everything I've ever heard about that guy is that he's just a nice,
Yeah, you never
genuine,
hear anything
down
bad
to
about
earth
him.
dude.
No
Now,
scandal, nothing.
I've never heard one bad thing about that guy. Like, yeah, I think he is who he portrays to be, and when I was a kid, I was a huge wrestling fan, and that was like right in the era of like The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin and Undertaker, and I
Raw
kind of
means
stopped watching.
war.
Like Monday Raw, Thursday Night SmackDown,
Yeah.
WrestleMania, all that stuff, was so I was like a big fan of him when he was a wrestler, and then I just kind of followed him ever since. So it was super cool, man. Like something that I, of course, never thought would happen. But he's actually like a really big fan of, country and Southern rock. And I know he's hit up like he's like kind of friends with Cody Jinks. I was doing some shows with Whitey, and he commented on my post saying like, tell Whitey I said hey. And so he's a fan of the genre, which
Brian, I have a podcast guest idea. Celebrity podcast with your favorite Southern rock picks from The Rock.
yeah,
We're gonna
man.
call it
He's, I mean, just,
Southern The Rock podcast.
and he said stuff like, oh, one of these days we'll meet up and drink a glass of tequila or something like that, which is obviously like probably will never happen. That would be really fucking cool, but,
It's going to happen. Let's put it out there right now. It's going to
Yeah,
happen.
no.
It's going
And
to happen.
my agent at the time was like, "Yeah, you should like, I don't know, invite him to like a baseball game or something." I was like, "That guy doesn't go
Invite
to
him to a
fucking
show,
baseball
dude.
games." Yeah, but
Tell,
like,
invite him to the
you
country
think,
music bar when you're playing here in LA.
but you think about The Rock though, like he can't just like go places,
Right.
like
Yeah.
he is like
He sticks out a little bit.
superstar. Oh yeah, well yeah, he cannot go disguised for sure, but he's like superstardom. Like he will get noticed anywhere he goes. He can't just like show up to somewhere, but yeah, I mean, of course, would be really fucking cool to hang out with him, but I'm not holding my breath. But just like what doing that was so cool, and he was so cool about it. Like he didn't have to send me a voice message or even tag me in the post,
Yeah. He needs to put you on
so I
some
got.
soundtracks to his movies, is what he needs to do. He's
Oh
a true
man, yeah. If I
fan.
was in like Fast and the Furious
Right.
58 or whatever they're on, like that would be sick, man. Or Jungle Cruise too, whatever, man. I'll take whatever I can get.
He's got a lot of, yeah, he's in a lot of franchises, so why not?
Oh yeah. I mean, he's like an amazing businessman, and he's got that like football league now. He's a I
You
don't know
can
how
have
he
the theme
does
song to the
everything he
X or
does.
whatever the football league, whatever the USFL, whatever
Yeah,
the hell is going on now. Yeah.
whatever it's called now. Yeah, I mean,
Change
hey,
it.
I'll do whatever, man. Whatever. I'll do whatever for that dude,
You could work together and write a song together just for that. How about that?
Oh, sign me up, man. You organize it and I'll be there, man.
Well, listen, if he's a Southern rock fan, he's probably listening to this podcast. So, Rock, we know you're listening. Get with CM. You guys are going to create the theme song for the Football League.
And come on the podcast too.
Yeah, there you
there
go.
You go. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Celebrity Southern Rock with the
You
Rock.
could cut a hell of a promo for this podcast.
Oh my God,
Yeah, in character.
man. Yeah, he's like back in wrestling right now. I've been seeing on his
Yeah.
Instagram. He's like posting a bunch of clips from WWE and stuff. So I don't
I
know how
love
he does
that.
all
Like
the shit
when
he
he does
does, man.
that, or Cena drops back in, or when some of those
Yeah.
old timers like drop back, I think it's great.
Yeah, no, I do too. Like I was saying, I don't know how he does all the stuff he does, and he still works out however long he works out every day. Like that guy, it's exhausting to watch. Just look at his Instagram, it's crazy, man.
I like his cheat day meals that he shows.
Oh my gosh. Whew. Yeah.
Lots of
He's
cookies,
like
Brian, and
he's
stuff.
eating some cookies, and it's just like two pans of giant cookies. And I mean, man, I wish someone. I mean, I'm sure he has a chef that makes all that stuff for him, but that it looks amazing. Yeah.
It does.
So, you got some single out recently by your side, and then also Searching for Paradise and more. And so some good tunes there. You want to talk about that?
Sure, yeah. So we see if I can get the
Yeah,
timeline
why did your PR want you to come on here? What, you're promoting something?
right here. So yeah, I mean, in short, I do have a record coming out in on March 22nd. I think that's when it is. Yeah, March 22nd, I think sounds right. Around then.
The Rock needs to put that on his Instagram and his stories. He needs to take your post and put that on his.
I know, man. I know that would be cool. So,
Yeah.
Rock, if you're listening, man, or we know you're listening, put that
We
on
know.
your story. But yeah, it's we finished the record, or like, well, I had the record completely finished, I thought, in like the end of towards the end of 2022, and I was driving from Los Angeles to Houston for like Thanksgiving or a holiday or something
How
like
long is
that.
that a drive?
And it's about 22 hours.
Oof.
But I did it so often, because I would go, I went, we'd go back to Houston a lot, especially for like every year for Christmas or I think it was like Christmas or Thanksgiving or something. I was driving back for, and I was listening to the record, and I just didn't feel like it was done, even though it was done, like it was mixed and mastered. I just didn't feel like it was done. I felt like it could be better. And so I called my manager and called producer and just kind of shared some of my thoughts and told them that I think we could beat it. And so we did. The early 20 three we went back into the studio and I wrote a couple new songs, and we kind of re-recorded some stuff, remixed some stuff, and I was finally kind of got it to a point where I was happy with it, and now we're putting it out into the world, and I'm super stoked on it, and I'm glad that it's like a tough It's a tough thing, as it's actually like the most important thing as a musician or creative, just to know when something isn't as good as you can make it, or I would go as far as just saying like know when something sucks, and not beat yourself up about it, but just know that you can make it better, have that confidence in yourself. And I was lucky that I have people around me that also have that confidence in me and in each other. Aren't worried about timelines and deadlines as much as just like the art being as good as it can be,
Yeah. That's pretty mature though from
So
you to be like, hey, you know what? We're this far along, but we can do a little bit better. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't easy by any means, you know.
Oh, sure, right. The easy thing would have been just roll with it because it was ready.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we had been working on the record even before then for like, you know, a year or so, you know, most of 2022. And I think I just have kind of learned from experience from making records that there's records that I, or songs that I didn't do that on that I wish I would have. And so I just kind of had to just do it, you know, just tell them like, hey, I don't think this is ready to be put out. And I think that's like a really important thing to do as a songwriter, creative or whatever. Like, you know, you have to be a little bit selfish, you know. You have to be.
What's your name and all this stuff? You should be 100% happy with it.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's, you have to be making it for yourself, you know, and not, you know, it sounds rude maybe, but I'm not making music for, at first, I'm not making music for someone else necessarily, you know. If someone else is affected by it or really likes it, like that's the goal. But if you're going in and not making music for yourself or not creating for yourself, it's not going to be good.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
You know, it's gonna be formulaic and it's not gonna be genuine. It's gonna be contrived and not good, you know. That's like a lot of what you hear like on, I don't know, country radio or something is formulaic. Like they're spoon feeding you, you know.
What's the new pop, right? It's the new top 40, so
yeah, exactly.
Sort of has that,
I have nothing against, like, I'm not this huge, like, folk pop country and all of that. Like, I think just call it what it is. It's pop music, you know?
Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift is the biggest pop star in the world.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I love the new Beyonce song. I think it fucking rules, you know?
The country stuff she's doing?
Yeah, it's kind of, I wouldn't call it country. Like, it's,
I wouldn't,
not
either.
Just because there's a banjo in it doesn't make it country, but I think as a song, like, it's awesome. Like, I think it rules, you know, but I think just being able to be objective about that and like not get offended by what box people try to put stuff in, like, don't get wrapped up in that as an artist, you know, or even as a listener, you know. People like build whole identities on trying not to be something else, you know, and that's boring, you know. That's not really what I'm interested in. Build your own identity on who you are and make things that you think are cool, you know. And don't worry about the rest. I mean, of course I care about the fans and stuff like that, but I think that fans don't want to hear that either, you know. Me as a fan, I don't want to hear that, you know. I like when an artist, you know, I liked when Sturgill made a record that was like rock and roll and had like electronic synths and stuff. I liked that record, you know. A lot of people hated it because it wasn't country or whatever, but I liked it, you know. I like when artists do what they want to do, you know.
Great artists will branch out and, you know, try other things because they probably, I don't know if you could say they get bored with what they're doing, but maybe feel, well, I've done this and conquered this, so I have more inside to, you know, I'm gonna experience other stuff.
Yeah, and you can tell when an artist is just doing it not for themselves, but maybe it's because what they think they're supposed to be doing or what their label has told them or what their manager's told them. You can tell because it feels stale and genuine, and it doesn't feel real, you know. I don't know. That's important to me to be a little bit selfish about it and, you know, make what I want, you know.
So on this new record, it's the on the Ride Here. Where did you record it? Who played on it with you?
Yeah, so we recorded it mostly or all in LA. Mostly at a studio. It's actually Robbie Krieger from The Doors. He has a studio in LA.
I've heard that name in that band before. Were they popular?
Yeah. they're pretty popular. You can look them up. So he has a studio in LA, and I've worked there a lot. It's a great studio and like tons of good gear and stuff. I actually got to use one of like the coolest pieces of gear that I've gotten to use in my time working there is like he has an original tone bender, which is a guitar pedal. It's a fuzz specifically. And they go like the original ones go for like thousands of dollars, but they're like this big. You know, so wow. it's not realistic to like bring on the road or anything, but anyways, like there's all these guitar companies or guitar pedal companies that try and emulate how that pedal sounds, but like no one really gets it right on, you know. So it's a cool studio. It's kind of all LA guys, usual suspects. Matt Tekiu, who has played drums with me for years, played most
is
about
he your
half
touring
the drums
guy or
on
just
it.
Your studio guy?
He used to tour with me more, and but now he doesn't really tour with me as much. Most of the guys that were in the studio are kind of studio guys who have toured with me some, but that's another part about LA is the musicians are more expensive because it's more expensive to live there, you know. So I had him and then Butch Walker,
oh,
who
yeah, there you go.
Or no, God, no, no, marvelous. Sorry, not Butch Walker. Sorry, not Butch Walker. Butch Norton. I'm sorry, Butch.
Okay,
Norton.
Butch. I was like Butch Walker. Robert yeah, yeah. Krieger, Butch Walker. Holy shit, yeah. Man.
Butch Norton, who he's played drums with Lucinda Williams for like 20 years. He's an amazing drummer. Eli Wolfmeyer, who has a great band called Leroy from the North, play guitar on it. Ted Russell Camp played nice. Bass, who mostly plays a shooter and kind of yep. has his own thing yep. as well. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of recording with Ted. He's like one of my favorite dudes to be in the studio with. He's so soulful and so many cool ideas. You know, I try and like surround myself in the studio with people that are just better at music than I am, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
they just have, and I just listen to them, you know. And but we also have a relationship. I have a relationship with everyone in there. With if I don't like something, they're not going to get offended if I tell them I don't like it, you know. I know. I mean, Sasha Smith playing keys. He's just like a great LA guy. He's played on like most of my records, if not all of my records. So yeah, just mostly LA studio guys, and I also recorded some at King Size in LA. There's so many good studios and so many good musicians in LA. I'm just grateful to play with them. You know, Eric Korn is the one that produced this. He's produced like my last four records, and was like one of my best friends. And yeah, we just have a good working relationship. He knows how to. I'll tell him stuff like in like idiot terms and he will do it. His just a great engineer. Like, I'll tell him, you know, I want this guitar to sound like it's trapped in a box and trying to get out. And he will make it that he will make that happen, you know, because I know more of like the nomenclature and the you know, recording terms now, but he's able to do stuff with my abstract thinking, you know. Yeah.
I love the single by your side. In fact, I love it so much that Brian and I are affiliated with a lot of Black Crowes podcasts and groups. You know, people love the music, so I send it to them, and got a lot of good feedback on it, man. A lot of good feedback. Right, so I dig it, and a lot of people are digging. Yeah, for sure, man. It's good stuff. And Brian and I really do love discovering new artists or new music and then sharing it too. And it's the main reason he's doing the podcast, but just want to tell you firsthand, I really dig that single, and a lot of people that we talk to do as well.
Thank you, man. Yeah. Yeah. That one was like, that was one of the ones that like was a rewrite that we came in with. And I kind of just came up with it like right before we went in the studio one day. Have you guys ever heard of Head, Hands, and Feet?
No.
It's so it's Albert King's first band.
Oh,
Albert King.
Oh, no shit. Guitar okay. player. Yeah. Blues guy.
And I'll have to send you guys a link. But there's a song called "Song and Dance" by Head, Hands, and Feet, and it's like one of my favorite songs of all time. And I had just had this, that song in my head, and I was like, I want to make a song like this. And that's where "By Your Side" came from. Yeah. So the what is it? The best artist. What is it? The best artist steal or bar? I don't know. I forget the quote, but I steal a lot from artists.
I love Albert King, especially the song "I Ain't Drunk." That's a great song.
Yeah. He's an amazing guitar player, man.
Oh man, one of the best blues guitar players of all time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Brian, you are not aware of Heads, Hands, and Feet. Brian's a historian; he knows things. I'm just here for stupid jokes.
Yeah, no, I hadn't heard of that.
I would have never heard of it had my friend not introduced me to it. It's very obscure. Like, I'll send you a link after this, because the whole record is really, really rad. But you know, a lot of times, like, I'll hear a groove that I like, and I'll just kind of write to that groove, and that's how I'll kind of start a song. And that's what happened with that song. Is, you know, of course, I'm not out here stealing melodies and stuff like that, but grooves, everything's happened already. So if I like a groove, I'll take it, and I'll just kind of use that as a precipice for writing a song. And that's where "By Your Side" came from.
And it's a strong indication for the album, for sure. We just made sure we followed you on Instagram, but you have like 52,000 followers.
It's The Rock, man.
The Rock, the power punk. Of The Rock.
You know, he actually, so, you know, God bless him. And I'm so grateful for what he did, but I've gotten more bots following my account than,
of course.
You know, and it's like almost impossible to get rid of them all, because Instagram, like, they only let you delete a certain amount of followers, like, per day, or else they like flag your account. So we've tried to, I mean, realistically, I think there's probably half of those are bots, to be honest. But there's like no good way to get rid of it. But anyways, that's like Cry Me a River Instagram social media stuff, you know.
And Brian, before your question, Matt Wake also follows Sam, our friend Matt Wake, the great rock journalist.
Awesome, right on.
So along when you on Spotify, when "By Your Side," you key in that single, was a "Searching for Paradise" and "More" come up too, and a couple other great songs. You mentioned groove. So that's I think is one thing that's unique with you, is like groove within kind of, I guess, what we call Southern rock. It's really cool. And
Yeah.
and if I can give you a compliment, I think you got like a really good a vibe like Brent Cobb, like
Oh
that.
yeah, no, he's the king right now in my eyes, man. He's making like some of the coolest music out there, you know.
I got to see him, his band, open for Whiskey Myers, and that was freaking awesome.
Oh yeah, man. He's just a great writer and like has really cool taste and really cool instincts and cool voice, you know. I'm a big fan of Brent, and I think like he kind of has a he's a fan of the groove as well. I heard him on Chris Shiflett's podcast,
Oh, yeah.
and he was talking about because we've kind of been grouped, and like I think there's like a Rolling Stone article or something where they're either talking about him or me, and they mention whoever they're not talking about, and kind of this like country funk, southern rock genre, and so he starts to talk about oh man, what's the guy's name right now? I'm blanking. Hang on, this is gonna bug me. The song is this the song I'm thinking of is called Oopie River Bottomland. Oopie River. River Bottomland.
While you guys are doing that, I gotta
Larry John
facilitate.
Wilson.
I
I
Larry John
gotta.
Wilson. There you go. Yeah. So he introduced me to Larry John Wilson through that podcast. I had not heard of him before, but and he's this guy that only made like, I don't know, I think like one-ish records in the 70s, and it is like the epitome of like country funk groove. And he made it with like mostly like kind of muscles. I think he made it in Muscle Shoals.
Cool.
And so with like those musicians and stuff, and there's just so much cool stuff about his writing and his voice and the grooves on those records, like how this is kind of like a music nerd thing, but like how loud the bass is on those records is like and how busy the bass is. It's just so cool, man. Anyways, I don't even know how I got on that tangent, but definitely check out that whole record, Oopie River Bottomland. It's like maybe the most popular song on that record, but the whole thing is good.
I
I
chatted a
haven't.
Google link, Brian, for you if you want it.
Yeah. We've had Charlie Starr on a few times, and he mentioned that he wrote one of the songs on their new record with Brent Cobb. I don't know which one it is. I haven't read any of the liner notes yet, but.
I haven't listened to their new record yet, but I need to. I was just talking to an agent the other day, and yesterday actually, and he just saw Blackberry Smoke the night before in Charlotte, and he said it was amazing show.
Yeah.
But
They
yeah, I
never
haven't
put on a bad
is
show ever.
yeah, no, that's those guys are like some of the hardest working dudes in the business, man. And I've never heard anything bad about them or their show. Is the record out? Is it
Yeah,
the whole
it's
record's
out.
out?
Yeah, it came
Okay.
out last Friday.
Be right
Yeah, I need to
here.
check it out, man. Yeah, and I heard
It's
like
a
one or two of the
grower.
singles, I think. Yeah, is
I
it
dig a
okay?
hole
Yeah.
and a little bit crazy, probably. It's a grower, like you got to listen to it a couple times, and you get into it.
Okay.
Brian, who are we looking to for
Brent
who a
Cobb.
song with? Oh
Brent
yeah,
Cobb.
what should know good.
That's what I thought it was. That's what I thought it was, because it sounds
It
like
sounds
Brent.
like him.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a great song.
See,
Yeah, I'll
this
have
is
to
the good
check out
thing
that
about
record.
physical media and albums. Like you can pull the stuff out and see it right away. People buy physical
Oh,
media.
yeah.
Buy Sam's physical media.
Hey, not to toot my own horn, but the packaging and like all the merch we have for this record is like definitely the best that's ever been.
Awesome.
Like the way these records, we have like a pink vinyl and like a cream vinyl, and they both look fucking awesome.
You could see the pink one on your when you look up your music on your website.
Yeah. You can get the pre-orders available now. And then we have like
10%
a
off
cool
from the website,
shirt.
everybody who's
Yeah,
listening.
10%
10% off to the
off.
website.
Yeah, and like a cool shirt that was designed by this artist I really like called Matt Sabbath. This English guy.
Matt Sabbath. Love it.
Matt Sabbath, yeah. It's a cool English guy. It does really cool art, and it's the shirt is there's a song on the record called Thunderbird Motel, and so he kind of designed the art after Thunderbird Motel, which the song's just kind of about spending nights in weird motels and how sometimes that feels more like home than home does, you know.
What was I going to say?
Looking at the cover. We both start looking at Lost your stuff on thought. The internet while we're talking to you. That's distracting.
Oh, so we always like to ask our guests, you know, Jason mentioned earlier, we're always looking for any artists that we may not have heard yet, may not have heard of, and whatever kind of bands. So is there anyone that we always ask, like someone that's been doing this about the same amount of time as you, like in your generation, whatever, someone you think that we would just totally dig, someone we may not have heard of? Or
yeah, there's as I was with my guitar, the guy who plays guitar on my records and sometimes tours with me, his name is Eli Wolfmeyer, but he has a band called Leroy from the North, and they're kind of like I call them like southern rock boogie. Really, really good. Ben Chapman is another guy that I write with him quite a bit, and we have like similar sensibilities. I think we kind of cut from the same cloth a little bit. You know, like he's one of the only people that I'll send him songs that I think there's no way he's heard, and he's already heard them. So I'm going to stump him one day, but, he's younger than me, and he's just killing it, man. He's just kind of on the up and up. I mean, Red Clay Strays, everyone's heard about last year, but those are like some of the best dudes. You know, there's a lot of, in any business, it's a lot of assholes, you know, and a lot of people that like they get to the top or whatever, and you're like, man, I wish that would have happened to this guy or this guy. That is not the Red Clay Strays. They're some of the nicest dudes you'll ever meet, most genuine, down to earth guys. And their show is, I mean, their music and their show is amazing. They just, I don't know if I'm supposed to say it, but they just recorded a record with Dave Cobb. And they let me listen to some of it, and like, man, it's, they're only going to get bigger, those guys.
We got to grab them, Brian, while we can. While
yeah, still for talk sure. To yeah. Us. Yeah. If they made a record with Dave Cobb. Yeah. I mean, cause Charlie talks about how Dave likes to make records. So sounds pretty cool.
Oh, I'll let them tell you when they come on. But they described like kind of the whole process and stuff to me, and they're like, it's the most fun we've ever had making a record, you know, and just kind of best environment. And I mean, I haven't heard a Dave Cobb record that hasn't been good, you know, so I wouldn't expect it to be anything less, you know. Trying to think of some more guys, man. There's my friend Ellis Bullard. He's more like honky tonk country, I guess. He's really great. Have to go through my Spotify, man. I feel like I'm like missing people.
Well, but get that ready, because that's going to be one of our lightning round questions for you. So,
all right, I'll don't spoil it yet.
I do have something to throw at you. I'm looking at your tour dates, and you're going to be playing the Power and Sound Revival Festival with our friends, the Williams, who we've had on a few times to talk
about right on
the show. How'd you get hooked up with them?
I don't remember. Probably just like through my management, I think. I got to meet the people that put it on whenever I played. Where was that?
Maybe probably somewhere in the Carolinas, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. somewhere in the Carolinas. I can't remember where exactly. But they came out to the show and got to meet them and like do some little promo videos. And so it sounds like a really cool festival. I'm really excited.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
always a good.
You probably talked to Michelle and Olivia.
Yeah. They're Michelle's the mother and
Yep.
Olivia the daughter. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're great, man. Really cool.
Good
And they
people.
we just did like a giveaway with them for the festival as well. Yeah, they're really. I'm excited for that one, man. And there's another band on there called Old Heavy Hands, that I think we're doing shows like up together up until that festival, and they're really cool, man. I've never seen them live, but kind of got hooked up through management, and I listened to some of their stuff, and like we follow each other and stuff now, and they're really cool.
Did you
Old Heavy Hands.
Did you meet Seth? That's Michelle's son, Olivia's brother, Seth Williams.
I don't think I met him. No,
he's
I
got
don't
a
think I
record
did.
called Burn. It's really good.
Okay,
he's a
yeah,
good
I'll have to
dude.
check it out.
He's down your alley.
I'm sure I'll meet him at the festival.
Yeah,
that's
oh,
for
for sure.
sure.
Yeah.
Oh, you will. He's an artist too. He restores vans, and he's big into the van
Oh
culture.
yeah. I've seen they're big into that. Yeah,
Oh yeah.
I see. That's kind of all on their Instagram.
You'll see a lot of those at the festival because they have a whole day of like the vans.
Van.
Oh
it's
wow,
got a van and
that's
bike
really
show at
cool.
the festival.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah, I'm excited for that one, man. That one seems fun.
Jason, is it that time of the show?
All right, Sam. Always at the end of the show, we like to do a lightning round. It's not really lightning fast, but I don't know. It's stupid questions. Are you game for a couple more minutes with us?
I'm game, man.
Okay. So we kind of alluded to this already, but what are the last three artists that you've streamed?
Last three that I've streamed. Let's see. I will tell you. So Freddie King, Burglar is probably one of my favorite records of all time. See, I gotta sift through all the podcasts here, man. Everyone with their podcasts these days.
Stupid, yeah, podcast. I mean, geez, please,
yeah.
Anybody can do a podcast.
Silly podcast.
Hacks.
Stephen Wilson Jr. If you guys aren't hip to him, he put out a record. I guess it was last year. It's called Son of Dad. And it's amazing. He calls himself Death Cab for Country. But it's really, I don't really know how to describe it. Listen to the song Cuckoo. And then like,
okay.
it's a double album. It's like 22 songs. So the end, it kind of
wow.
is more acoustic, but he plays like a really unique nylon. And like watch some of his live acoustic videos. I've been like on a big kick of his lately. And then, let's see, what did I, Dire Straits actually is the third
nice.
Thing that's on there.
Yeah.
I think I went on a, I saw like a clip on Instagram of Dire Straits, I think on like one of those classic rock accounts. And, I was like, man, I feel like listening to Dire Straits today. So, yeah, those are my three most recent.
That's funny. I was listening to, I've been listening to Dire Straits a lot randomly. And then my band was practicing last week and I brought a song idea and I called it like, and one of the other guys is like, this sounds like a Dire Straits song. And I go, son of a bitch. It sounded a little, had a little bit of the verse of So Far Away ish too.
Oh, okay.
Motherfucker,
hey, that's
I've been
not
listening to Dire Straits.
That's not, hey, there's nothing wrong with that, man. Just,
but the chorus
you know.
Is completely different. Completely
yeah.
different.
Yeah. Hey, man, there's nothing wrong with that, man. You know, the best artists borrow, or I can't
borrow,
remember that. I wish
or,
I could remember.
I was
quote
inspired,
right
apparently, from all the Dire Straits, but he called out, and I
yeah.
was like, son of a bitch, that really is very Dire Straitsy.
Yeah. Hey, that's not a bad band to be compared to, man. I mean,
no.
They're
I don't
cool.
play anywhere. I don't play guitar anywhere close to the ability of Mark Knopfler, though. But, you know, anyway.
I wish you and me both, man.
I don't think many people do.
Yeah.
All right. The inventor of the Pop-Tart died last week. So in celebration of the Pop-Tarts, tell us your favorite all-time Pop-Tart flavor.
Oh, man. It's either strawberry, like classic strawberry, or the like is it like the cinnamon one?
Yeah, brown sugar cinnamon.
Yeah, brown sugar cinnamon, that's it. I knew there was another ingredient in there. One of those two. And that sucks that he died.
Yeah, but he was like 93 years old.
I have to eat a Pop Tart in his honor tonight, man.
You know, instead of like pouring one out for your homies, you got to eat a Pop Tart.
Yeah, I just eat a Pop Tart, man. I'm sure we have some here somewhere.
Yeah, I need to get some. I haven't had Pop Tarts in my house in forever, but we've talked about Pop Tarts the last couple podcasts. And Brian, I need to go to the store and get a pack of Pop Tarts.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I got some here.
S'mores. Yeah, you sent me a picture. Yeah, you sent me a picture.
Like, oh, s'mores, man. That sounds good too. I think I've had one of those s'mores. Sometimes, like late night when you're on a drive or something, or after the show, and you stop by a gas station, sometimes Pop Tarts are the best things. And then you don't even have the means to heat them up. You just eat them, you know, room temp Pop Tart, man. Like, hey, you got to do what you got to do.
I'd rather eat them cold out of the foil than put them in the microwave, though. You got to either toast them or eat them cold.
Yeah, you got to toast them. Yeah, you got to toast them or room temp, cold, whatever. But nonetheless, Pop-Tarts are delicious, and thank you to that dead guy. Yeah.
And I'm going to throw brown sugar cinnamon on the ever-building list of potential band names.
Hey, that is a good band name. Or
that would be like an R&B band. Or yeah. Listen, Sam, you got to write a song, Brown Sugar Cinnamon.
I'm writing it down. I'm always writing.
I mean,
down
the Stones have brown sugar, but that's about drugs, right? It's about drugs.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I think so.
That's a lot of Stones songs were, but I think Brown Sugar Cinnamon.
It's either it's either drugs or sex. So you know,
yeah, or both.
Every Stone song, yeah, probably both. Yeah,
that's like every like most rock songs are about. Drugs
and yeah things. Especially yeah. Stones, man.
Especially, or you could go with Brown Sugar Cinnamon Girl. That way you get sued by the Stones and Neil Young.
and you'll get canceled too.
That's funny. Brown Sugar Cinnamon Girl, I love it. That's there's listen, well, I'm already ripping off the Dire Straits, so I might as well take these guys.
But what if
we got the thumbs up? Did you put the thumbs up on your thing?
No, but that's been doing that recently. Like when I
FaceTime.
Weird,
I saw like
stuff,
a thumbs up. Yeah.
Yeah, when I FaceTime recently, like if you do it, I don't know.
You could have a Stones Neil Young tribute act called Brown Sugar right. Cinnamon
Yeah, Brown. There you go. There you go.
Brian, I'm the one with the jokes, but you're actually coming with jokes, and they're actually good ones, unlike me.
I don't even want to know the kind of person that would buy tickets to that. that's a different kind of person.
Yeah, that's like a strange combo for a tribute band.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what? Yeah,
they're out there.
Maybe a wide audience when you do that. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, back to stupid questions. What do you like to do on your days off from touring? Like when you're on the road, like,
oh man, I'm a homebody. If I'm not touring, I like to be at home, but I play video games. I'm a nerd. So whatever.
Yeah, video games are hip though. Like that's
are they hip now?
I think that's like a standard. Like
if they're hip, then I'm hip, man. If they're hip, then I'm hip. But
are you a PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo? What are we doing?
No, I'm like PC. I'm like
PC game.
I'm like a World of Warcraft. Okay. Like old school gamer, you know.
Those are MMORPG. What are those called? Massive.
Yeah, MMORPG.
MMO. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, and massive multiplayer. Whatever it stands for, I don't know.
We had Jason Charles Miller on a couple months ago, who not only does great heavy Southern rock, but he's big in the gaming world, voiceovers, and goes over to Japan.
I remember coming across his Instagram a while back, and I was surprised by that.
He's cool as shit, man. What a career! He touches everything.
Yeah. He's a cool guy, man. I've never met him, but. I have some friends that have done stuff with him. What's the girl's name? Hannah. Man, can't remember her name off the top of my head. But yeah, we got a lot of mutual friends.
Yeah, cool dude. We love talking to him. He was definitely an interesting dude for sure. All right, what's the worst topping for pizza?
Oh man, I don't like bell peppers. I'm just not a bell pepper guy, and I don't even want to step on the pineapple debate right now. I know better. I know better than to bring that up.
It's a trap. Don't say it.
Yeah, it is a trap because I personally am indifferent about it. But like my girlfriend, for instance, is like, we'll maybe fight you if you say not to put pineapple on pizza. So
my wife loves pineapple on a pizza. She likes Hawaiian pizza, loves pineapple on it.
Yeah, I think it's fine. You know, it wouldn't be my first choice.
Not every time.
Yeah. Like I said, it wouldn't be my first choice, but if it's in front of me, I will eat it. You know,
I mean, it's pizza. You know, like pizza's good. It's pizza.
Yeah, you can't really. It's hard to mess up a pizza. I mean, I've had pretty much every kind of pizza you could have, and yeah, it's just good. It's just it's food. You know,
it's pizza.
Yeah, it's pizza.
Even when it's bad, it's still good.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have a favorite spot to hit when you're on the road out on tour? Is it your Waffle House or a Whataburger?
Waffle House is very, very, very popular. I think the last tour we did, we hit it twice one day. We hit it morning and night. And actually, funny story, there's a Waffle House less than a mile from where I'm at in Nashville, from my girlfriend's place. And we went late the other night and we sat down. We both wanted a waffle and started ordering. And they told us that they couldn't do waffles right now. So Waffle House, no waffles. I had never been so heartbroken in my life, but
something broken, like equipment, or how the hell
said,
do you not do waffles?
They said that all of their like waffle makers were broken. But how is that even like? I don't even know how it's possible. But anyways, we
you
drove 6 minutes to the next
franchise.
Waffle House.
You should lose your franchise if that ever happens.
Honestly, man, and if we went to 6 minutes down the road to the next Waffle House, got a waffle, but we took.
Well, you're in the South, of course. There's one like every exit
yeah,
on the highway.
Yeah, especially in the Southeast, they're like literally everywhere.
It's our dream to be sponsored by the Waffle
by
House.
Waffle House.
Yeah. Oh my God, I would love that, man. And there's also like the if you've ever had the pleasure of getting a waffle or a meal from the. Oh man, I can't remember what they're called exactly, but there's like Master Chef's Waffle House, and they have like a black apron, black shirt that says,
what?
And I don't think it's actually Master Chef, but it's something along those lines.
Yeah.
But it's like that. It's like as high as you can get as far as a chef at Waffle House, and you have to like go to some separate training and stuff. But I had some hash browns from one of those one time that were like. God's creation, man, just absolutely insane. I'm a big man. Now I want Waffle House, really, really.
Now
bad.
I
but
want
they don't,
Waffle House.
Apparently, they don't have waffles at the one near me. So
I need a Pop Tart and a waffle. Damn it!
Yeah, that's
maybe some
diet.
Pizza with pineapple on it.
that's a complete diet.
That's a diet of some sort.
Yeah, every food group there.
Oh shit. We were, hey Brian, if you didn't know, last week on our episode, we had a commercial for Fruity Pebbles.
Oh really?
Oh wow.
For Tony Higbee. Yeah, Fruity Pebbles. So like Pop-Tarts is next, I think, on the rotation.
Man, you guys hit the big time with Fruity Pebbles, man. That's
right. I mean, seriously.
That's wild.
That's pretty that is, solid.
Yeah. That's I'm a big
it's fan. The Flintstones represent Fruity Pebbles. Come on.
Yes,
now
indeed.
Now we just gotta get Lucky Charms for Ace Von Johnson.
Yeah, we'll have to let Ace know when we finally land Lucky Charms on the show. All right, we'll go fast because I know we got time here. Two last questions for you. If you could play on stage with one band or artist for any night, be living or dead, who would you choose?
Little George.
Nice.
Little George,
Little
nice.
Feet. Yeah.
Yeah, Little
yeah,
Feet,
Little
baby.
George.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Is there a certain song you'd absolutely have to play with them?
Oh, man. I mean.
Fat Man in a Bathtub.
Yeah, I mean, Little Feet's my favorite band of all time, so okay. It would be hard
Dixie
to.
Dixie Chicken.
Yeah, I mean, Dixie Chicken would be great. Like, Two Trains would be awesome. New Delhi Freight Train would be awesome. Apolitical Blues be hard to pick. Fat Man in a Bathtub would be really fun.
Yeah.
Rock and Roll Doctor would also be very, very fun. But yeah, definitely Lowell would be first for me.
That's a great pick. That is great. And so I think with what you do, that would mesh really well with the Little Feet.
Oh yeah. I mean, they're hands down my favorite band of all time. Still one of the most underrated bands of all time.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Right. And inspired a lot of great acts throughout the
years. Oh yeah. 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 They're like the musician's favorite band kind of. Yeah, they're musicians, yeah. Musicians, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good description. All right. Your last question before we get you on your way and make sure your girlfriend doesn't yell at you for taking too much time. What is a guilty pleasure or a song or artist we'd be surprised to hear that you like?
Oh man. Well, I think actually it was my fourth. The first question about Spotify, I think this was actually my fourth artist, but I was listening to 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die.
Oh, nice.
This was actually on the way to Waffle House the other night. I got I just wanted some gangster rap in a waffle, man. I just had a fucking craving for it. But yeah, I love Get Rich or Die Trying is like, in my opinion, like a perfect rap album. So we'll go with that. There's a lot of, I have a very weird and eclectic, music catalog, but we'll go with that because that's fresh on the burner.
I love it. I love that answer, Brian. Do you love that answer?
I love that answer.
All right, Sam, thank you for taking your time out. We're really looking forward to the new record On the Ride here. Where do we send our listeners to go to find more about you, your music, tour dates, where they can get all your stuff?
So you just go to sammonomusic.com and it's got links to all my either dates or social media or store or whatever. And yeah, come out and see a show. That's the best way to support music these days is come out to a show. And we'll probably in all likelihood be close to you within the next year or so. So it'd be good to see
everybody.
I'll
be looking for Columbus dates or Ohio dates for sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Please.
Yeah, yeah.
Please come by.
What's close to Fargo? Like, where do you?
Minneapolis.
Oh, Minneapolis.
About
okay.
3 hours west of Minneapolis. That's where I'm at.
Okay, yeah. I'm sure we'll be up there.
A lot of acts go through Fargo,
Ohio,
though.
For sure. Do they? Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know Fargo, obviously, from the movie and the show.
Yeah, yeah, but, that's right.
But I've never been.
Did you watch
I've
the last season of Fargo?
There.
Did you see the
no,
last season?
No, not the most recent.
Oh,
but
my wife
need
and I
to.
Just
I
finished
it.
It's good. Really good. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, I heard the same about the new True Detective. I heard that.
I have too.
That, the
I think
new
that's
season
next
was
for
good.
Us.
Yeah,
yep. I think that's
for
next
us
on
too.
My rotation. All right, and follow you on Instagram. You got the Rock loves you. You have 52,000 followers. What's a couple more?
Only half bots. Yeah.
Only
I
half
need
bots.
Some, yeah.
You know you've made it with enough followers when the sex bots continually attack you. Brian and I just
plenty
got
of those
sex bots status.
Hey, congratulations. Fruity Pebbles and sex bots in the same week? Holy shit.
Now
man.
That's the name of a double album, Fruity Pebbles and Sex Bots.
Yeah. There you go.
Or man. A screamo band.
Yeah. There you go.
All right,
man.
Sam,
I'll
thanks
that
so
one
much
down.
For joining us. Brian, over to you.
Thank you so much to Sam Morrow for being a guest on the podcast. It was an awesome conversation with you. You're welcome back anytime. The record coming up is On the Ride here. So thank you so much to Sam Morrow for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you so much to Sam Morrow for coming on. It was a great first time talking to him. And Jason, I dare you to reach out to The Rock to be a guest of
podcast. So here I'm going to give you my plan right now. I thought about this when we were talking to Sam. When we post this episode with Sam on it, I'm going to tag The Rock and say it's The Rock's favorite artist and tag him. If I get a response, he likes it or whatever, then yes, we're going to try to reach out to The Rock to get him on the show.
Wouldn't that be a great ID?
That would be amazing.
You're doing his whole stick.
It would be amazing. I'm never say never. Say never. You know, but I already thought about that. I'm tagging The Rock on Instagram when this comes out.
And they always say you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
That's right. So you know what? We will we'll swing big and see if we hit a home run or not.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting to talk about. I thought Sam kind of has a Brett Cobb kind of vibe.
Yeah.
So it's cool to hear him, you know, speaking such respect for him and mentioning, you know, about Ted Russellkamp and, you know.
He's got his own sound going, and I dig it, man. I really do like that By Your Side single. And I like told you before we recorded, and Sam, I shared it with some of our Black Crowes friends, and they dug it too.
Yeah. Also interesting to hear, you know, about the kind of the contrast between LA and Nashville and some of the similarities. And he's had a heck of a journey thus far.
Yeah, he has. He has. And it'd be interesting to see where he goes. But like, it's a slam dunk of a guest. Super cool dude. Love his music. And I can't wait to hear more from him and about him. Have him back on. And when we'll have him back on when The Rock comes on. Yep. We'll all just have a hangout.
Yep. So I really want to do it, but I'm not going to, but I'll just do our usual ending without the, if you
are we going to, can you smell it?
Always remember, Southern rock is reverent, blues is blood. We'll see you next time.
Started drifting westward since I was old enough to stray. I stint out in the desert, the one outside LA. Got out in the valley, where the sun shines every day. Came out here searching for paradise, yeah. Might have got carried away now. Came out here searching for paradise, yeah. Came out here searching for you, babe. How like a coyote drinking 190 proof. I ate too much peyote, then I threw up all my boots. Might have left my body, but I think I found the truth. Came out here searching for paradise, yeah. Might have got carried away now. Came out here searching for paradise, yeah. Came out here searching for you. And coffee while I rehabilitate. Living in the valley, where the ground sometimes a shade. Came out here searching for paradise, yeah. Might have got carried away now. Came out here searching for paradise. Searching for you, babe. Came out here searching for paradise, yeah. Might have got carried away.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.